Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
And welcome to The Shift, the podcast that aims to tell the no-holds-barred truth about being a woman post 40. Created and hosted by me, writer and broadcaster, Sam Baker. My guest today is a true trailblazer. If you've ever been a clubber, DJ Paulette will need zero introduction. If you haven't, well, all you really need to know is that she has been breaking barriers since day one. One of the Hacienda's first female DJs, she became a stalwart of the Manchester music scene in the 90s, before being catapulted to stardom, playing crowds of literally tens of thousands all over the world. All this in a world that's a notorious boys' club, where women famously have to do it backwards in high heels. And as a black queer woman, she's had to do triple backflips as well, just to get a fraction of the recognition. In November 22, she finally became the first female of colour to win DJ Magazine's Lifetime Achievement Award, amongst, of course, an all-male roll call. Now she's reliving those years in her first book, Welcome to the Club, The Life and Lessons of a Black Woman DJ.
They will put a man over 40, 50 on a dance music magazine. No question.
Yeah, totally.
David Guetta, straight on a magazine. Carl Cox.
Yeah, how old is he
Giles
now?
Giles Peterson, they're all over 60. They are all over 60. And you cannot get a single woman over 40 on the cover of a magazine.
Paulette joined me from Manchester to talk about how perimenopause knocked her sideways at 39. 39. Then being told that no one would book her because she was too old at 41. The career kids conundrum, back fat, underarm vaginas, and a kangaroo pouch, being older at 24 than 54, and why she will never, never, never stop sticking her neck out.
So how are you? How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for coming on The Shift. It's an honour to have you on.
I'm very excited. It's interesting because yesterday, I mean, quite a lot of stuff started flying around about the book, which is nice. But one of the chapters that just kind of hit yesterday just hit at a time when, I mean, it couldn't have been better timed because we've just come off the back of the Golden Globes. And, you know, I don't know whether you know, like, massive shitstorm. First of all, between Madonna and Piers Morgan. And, I mean, there's been a long-running battle between Madonna and Piers Morgan anyway. He thinks she's, like, whatever. But from anyone that has even the remotest political gene or political atom in their body will know that Piers Morgan is a misogynistic, sexist tit.
Totally.
Who has absolutely zero respect for women.
I mean, he just thinks she should stay home, doesn't she? Like, women over 30.
He said she's old, but it's like, excuse me, how old are you, Piers?
Exactly.
You're
the double standards.
About the same age. You know, and this is the double standard that just irks me enormously because, one, it filters down. So all his fans think it's right to speak about any woman over 40 in these terms. to view any woman in the workplace over 40 in these terms. She's too old. Mm. She should go home. She should, you know, take her whatever, you know. And then it doesn't reflect on them. So it can be a 60-year-old man talking about a 60-year-old woman. Ha, 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 very funny. But you're the same.
Totally.
Does not exist. Equality does not exist. It's like, guys, and they, you know, this is something that I've met even in talking about the PR for the book, that they will put a man over 40, 50 on a dance music magazine. No question.
Yeah, totally.
David Guetta, straight on a magazine. Carl Cox.
Yeah, how old is he now?
Jazz Peterson, they're all over 60. They are all over 60. And you cannot get a single woman over 40 on the cover of a magazine.
But if you're over 40, they think you should go home and do something else anyway if you're a woman.
They think you should just not do anything. They think you should just go home and find some knitting or crochet. And this is 2024.
I know, it's an absolute shocker,
isn't it? It's not 1824, it's 2024.
Let's start there then. You went into perimenopause, didn't you? At like 39 something.
Yeah, I started in perimenopause when I was 39 and my hair started falling out and I was like, what is happening to me?
But you were huge in France at that point, massive. Weren't you? You're like up there with David Guetta.
And playing in front of thousands of people every weekend, you know, not even just every month, it was like every weekend I was packing them in. And I was noticing that I was going to gigs and drinking champagne and it would bring on a flush. I would be under the lights and just absolutely saturated, looking like I'd stepped out of the shower. And I could get away with it kind of when I was under the lights because, you know, it's hot. But then
everybody's
when
hot,
sat
at
dinner, round the dinner table with promoters and DJs and whoever, having a very nice French meal and the red wine comes and the champagne comes and then you look like you've stepped out of the rain. It's like, what is going on? You know, and it's something that I couldn't hide, but nobody was kind of mentioning it. But I knew inside my body that something was different.
Did you have a clue what was going on?
Not really. You know, there isn't a lot of learnings available to people for how your journey is going to pan out when you're entering that beautiful road of menopause. I was also living in France. So the way I was translating any information, you know, I don't even think I really looked or started to research what menopause was in French terms. You know, it certainly wasn't covered in any French magazines.
No, when was this? What, 15 years ago, something like that?
This is, what, 15, 16 years ago now.
Yeah, so there was nothing, was there?
No, and I mean, even I spoke to my sister Audrey, who I knew was in her phase of the menopause, and I got, you know, a little bit of information from her, but not much. You know, she was like, oh, it could last 1 year or it could be, you know, she'd been in hers, I think, at the time for maybe 4 or 5 years or something like that. There just wasn't the information. And admittedly, I have to say, you know, maybe I wasn't particularly exigent about, you know, going into the research about it, buying the books and whatever,
yeah,
you know.
Who is, you know?
Yeah, there just wasn't really, I didn't go into the research of it or finding out what was wrong with me. You know, why should we even think it's wrong?
But also, it's like, I don't know about you, but I just didn't, I had loads of symptoms, but I didn't know what they were.
You didn't connect
it wasn't
them.
Exactly. It's like, but you've got five sisters. You kind of, I have this idea because I've just got one brother and clearly he would be useless, was useless.
That we all sit around a fireside and talk. nope.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, this kind of Little Women fantasy of sisterhood.
Yeah, unfortunately, that part of sisterhood is kept to oneself. It's mad. You know, I have only really seen a shift in the way women have conversations with each other and themselves in the last, I would say, in the last five, maybe, I would say it's more in the last five years.
Yeah.
When we've actually started to have that conversation with ourselves and been open about the conversations that we are having with ourselves, first of all, and then that enables us to have these conversations with each other. But it starts with the self, first of all. It starts with not feeling like there's something wrong. It starts with feeling like this is a natural process. This is part of the natural process of maturing, growing up, not even necessarily growing older, because I started mine really early on. I started
What was it, 39 or something?
So I wasn't even in the headspace of considering myself as getting older particularly. I was still, you know, hot kitty from the city.
And you still are, love. You still are.
And this is what having an understanding of what's happening can also unlock or unleash, is actually realizing you can still, and you are still that person. There is just something else biological happening at the same time that you have to, one, accept, two, integrate. Because it's going to happen whether you like it or not. It is going to happen. The changes are going to come. Your hair's going to change. It might fall out. It might completely fall out. The quality of it changes. It's not as soft as it was. It just kind of goes its own way. Your body, the same. It goes its own way. It doesn't matter whether you go to the gym seven times a week. Your body is going to do what the hell it likes. Go on, 100 abs a day. I will guarantee you that those abs are not going to change the shape your body wants to take when it hits the menopause. It just does that thing. All of a sudden, a roll comes, back fat comes, your bra kind of fits weird and leaves little marks where it didn't leave marks before.
And that little roll underneath.
Yeah, and you get an old underarm vagina. It's like a... All of a sudden, you start getting these things that you've never had before. It's like, when did you know? When did that happen to my body? And it just happens overnight. It happens when you're sleeping.
It feels like it does, doesn't it? It literally feels like you go to bed one night and you wake up the next day
a completely different person.
You're like, hang on, I swear these clothes fit yesterday.
Exactly. Waistline doesn't fit. Just your body shape, you know, the way your trousers fit. All of a sudden you've got a little pouch like a kangaroo. It's like, I didn't want that. I didn't want that. Why have I got this? And you try and shift it and it won't go. And that makes you feel bad. And then you've got those psychological symptoms, which are myriad. You know, I kind of lost my mind for the first 2 years. I was just... everything. I was so overstimulated. Like every time anybody breathed or chewed or talked behind me, it was just like an irritation beyond, you know, everything was too loud. And I'm working in music.
And it's God, that's loud to start with. So you were going through all of this at a point when you were headlining gigs for, I don't know, thousands, tens of thousands. How did you manage to navigate that?
I think very badly at the beginning. Very badly. There was a lot of lashing out. There was a lot of what people would term diva behaviour, where I just, you know, if I didn't want something or if something happened, you know, there is one instance in the book where I talk about all the equipment packing up.
Mm.
And in fact, my reaction was right. You know, how can I be in a
situation
behavior. Where all of this equipment, but my response was maybe a bit over the top. Should I have stormed off the stage? I don't know. Yeah.
But, you know, for context for the listeners, you know, you were on stage, there were three CD decks and they were all broken.
Yeah.
So there was no music. I mean, that's an untenable situation.
And people were booing and it's like, this isn't even my fault. It's not a mistake that I've made. It's a mistake that they've made and more a mistake that they've made because the sound engineer's gone home. There's no backup material. And we've got 2 hours to play and there's silence. And to be told by somebody, oh, well, why don't you sing, was just the absolute wrong thing to say to me right then. And
totally.
I, you know, for good or for bad, I just, you know, stormed off stage. I wasn't going to do it. And I'd asked them to make an announcement because I knew that my French wasn't good enough to placate an, you know, a restless crowd. I didn't have the vocabulary. I could speak French quite well, but I knew it was a situation that needed to be handled in a certain way. And I felt like I couldn't do that. And I asked them to make an announcement and they said no. So there were two things that had happened there. And I just felt like totally humiliated. So I stormed off stage. But looking back on it, I know, you know, even now I know that certain responses I have when I flip like that, it's like, oh, you're a bit menopausal. It's like this is, you know, that there is a response when you can be a bit annoyed or frustrated and you'll have a flip response like that, which is fast and it's sharp and it's, you know, maybe a bit blunt with people. And I can be blunt anyway. I'm from Manchester and I'm a Capricorn and I've got every excuse, but I am just, you know, I don't mince my words at the best of times. So if I don't mince my words and that's times 100, it's like, oh dear, she's lost it. And I can go, you know, I can get someone on blast very quickly. And I feel, you know, I know those moments when I'm really hypermenopausal, when I've got someone on blast like that, where I know I can feel a word has just hit them and pinned them to the wall, like with and you know, with the delivery of it, when it's gone with a force that you actually haven't been able to really regulate or control, it's just flown out. It's like, oh, I am really sorry. And you know, I can come back and say I'm really sorry about that. But whether it's hormonal or it's a mixture of hormones, psychology, the moment, the just general, I can't deal with this right now-ness that comes of being menopausal. It's not even so much that your fuse is shorter. It's just a completely different fuse. You've been rewired in such a way that you're not like you were the night before you went to bed when all the changes seemed to happen in your body because you were asleep and it could. Yeah. This is when it happens. You go to sleep and then you wake up the next day and everything's changed and it keeps changing. It doesn't stop. It keeps changing. These changes keep happening and you can't control them. It's like, well, okay, everybody, just crack on, call me when you've finished.
So how did you deal with it?
I do sport and I swim. First of all, I am a swimmer, so I was just swimming nonstop because that was how I could get some kind of respite from the heat that was coming from it. It's just like it was coming, it felt was coming from all sides, you know, like I was not calm at any point of the day. My stress levels must have been peaking through the absolute roof at the time. I know it's calmed down a lot now because I don't feel like in the red zone every day of the week anymore.
Bit more amber.
Yeah. Occasional peaks of amber. I feel very green with occasional peaks of amber now, which is like, okay.
That sounds good.
It's taken a lot of years, though, to get here. So I don't mean to scare anybody, but I got one of the long straws.
Yeah.
Or rather, I do the very short straw in that
the very short
the
one.
Long journey. But I never did HRT because I think at the start of when I went into peri, we tried all of that with hormones and pills and whatever else it was to kind of slow down the onset of it. And I just didn't feel, after taking whatever I'd taken, I can't even remember what it was now, but I just remember coming back from the doctors every time with lots of bags of medication. And this is, you know, part of the reason why I don't take medication anymore, because they just throw loads of pills at you. And it just didn't felt that any of it worked for me. You know, I did have the arguments with my doctors, why are you giving me all these pills? Ching.
And in a language that you speak, but
yes,
it's not your...
Exactly. Yeah. So I didn't do HRT, and I have really just tried to calm it down and regulate it and understand it for myself. I've done a lot of therapy, and therapy has, you know, very much helped me when doctors couldn't, really being able to talk it out, figure it out, do the, you know, do the exercise when I need to do the exercise, take the rest when I need to take the rest. But every single time, every step of the way, I kept getting told that I needed to change my job. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, who buy what the doctors
things? Yeah, or, and you know, I have got a high pressure job, but I am also menopausal, and they would not factor that in.
Oh man. So you were like, this was all happening to you when you were like, I mean, 39, like you say, you weren't even 40.
Yeah.
It's really, really young. When did you start to, you feel like it impacted on your career straight away? What happened in terms of that?
I think first of all, it impacted on my relationship because I was going out with somebody much, much younger than me. And I, because I'd wanted, you know, when we met, it was like, oh, you know, we're going to get married, have kids and all of this. But then when I hit the menopause, it's like, well, we've just wasted all this time and now I'm not even producing eggs anymore and I can't have kids. So that meant that relationship, I mean, it was just, I mean, that was such a menopausal moment, really, where I was just lying in bed one night and went, get out.
Oh, my God.
And just like the realization came that I'm not going to have kids anymore. My egg production had stopped. This person had just kind of hovered around the periphery saying, yeah, we're going to. And then when I asked the question, you know, when are we going to have kids? And it was like, I don't know. When are you going to be ready? I don't think I'll ever be ready, was the response. And then I went to bed, woke up and went, get out, door's there, here's your clothes, bye. Then I realised that, you know, one of the things that we are told is part of the journey of being a fully fledged woman is to have kids. And I had leapfrogged. I mean, I didn't really, you know, if I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't really want kids anyway. And I always put people in there that were going to disappoint me on that level.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
So I think I'd kind of secretly in the back of my head planned not to have kids. But when that moment came and I realized that I couldn't have kids, even if I wanted to, that was a big kicker, realizing that your body can't make that thing. Every other woman, you know, you're not necessarily every other woman, but most of the women.
But it feels like it, doesn't it?
Every woman in my family could do. It's just like, Oh, God.
And you say in the book that, you know, you've been at like the top of your game career-wise for 30 years, but your longest relationship has been seven. Do you think that was, and I mean, and you haven't, as you say, you haven't had kids. Was there a sense you think that of something's going to have to give?
Yeah.
Do you think there was like in the back of your mind?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I think what I didn't factor in is it's one thing saying I've not had kids and you can be quite removed from it. But it does feel weird when, you know, certainly other female DJs have managed to do that. And, you know, they've had kids, they've had their families. But then what I've seen is they've had kids, they've had their families, and not all of them have come back. There was the realization that, yes, something has to give because you either have your career or you have your family, and very few people manage to make that leap and have both, which is why I talk about Jams and Colleen and Marcia in the book, because they're three people who manage to have their families and work through it. But for me, I was never in a relationship that was stable enough or secure enough that that would have been possible. So there was that realization that I had to give up that side of, it's a massive horse-sized pill to swallow for anyone. I still get pangs when people are talking about babies and pregnancies. I love being around all my pregnant friends. I get more excited than they do about what's coming and how it's going to be and what they're, you know, how they're going to decorate and what they're going to do. And it's like quite weird because I do enjoy that side of the female experience of womanhood, but I just haven't been able to do that for myself. And, you know, those kind of conversations, it's hard not being able to, you know, not being part of that conversation.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
So few people are honest, though, about that massive horse-sized pill, aren't they? And I think the reality is, like you said, it's 2024, and that still is. It's a really big deal. And you've got, like, the music industry, like many, many other industries, it's still, like, a boys' club.
Big time.
It's still...
I mean, look what happened recently. Golden Globes, Taylor Swift, Joe Kay on one side, and then on the other side you've got the big, I don't even want to mention the name, I'll just give the initials PM versus Madonna. It's like that woman will never be irrelevant, because without Madonna, there would be no Beyonce, there would be no Taylor Swift, there would be no Katy Perry. None of those girls would have even half the career they've got if Madonna had not broken all the barriers for touring, for presentation. Lady Gaga, she's like none of those people would exist on the level that they do. The fashion side of it, it did not exist before Madonna played that game, before Madonna played those cards.
Yeah, I mean, did you find that with your bookings as you kind of passed 40?
Absolutely. I remember being sitting, this isn't in the book even, I was sitting in a meeting with my booking agent, and she'd taken on two really young French DJs who were going to be the next big thing in France. And we were sitting in a meeting, we'd had a dinner, and we were back at her place chatting. And it was like, oh, well, you know, I was discussing why my bookings had started to fall off, had started to reduce. It wasn't even in a heartbeat when one of the younger guys turned around and said, that's because you're old.
What, like literally said
literally
that to your face?
That to my face. That's because
you're old.
And
what were you, like 41 or two?
I was 41. Just kind of looked like, it was like being struck by lightning. It's like, oh my God, I can actually be considered too old to do this job that I can do really well, that I get back better at doing every year. That, and it just started to change everything. It's like, and I started to realize the crowds that I wanted to, were these the crowds that I wanted to play to anymore? Was this the music that I wanted to play anymore? Was it, could I play my music but to a different crowd, which is what I eventually did? It's like, well, okay, I can't play that music because that music is way too young. The crowds are way, 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 way too young. But it means the crowds I play to are possibly smaller, but older. Fine. I'm all right with that.
You know? Annie Mack's been on, and she's actually coming back again later in the series to talk about what the experience has been like of changing everything. But she's said, as you know, like exactly the same thing. It's like she got, there was a point in her career where she had to choose between, am I going to go and be Johnny Big Balls? Like, you know, the industry is set up to for a male approach to success. Really. Or do I actually want to play the music I want to play to the people I want to play it to, regardless of whether the promoters think those people are cool enough?
Exactly, exactly. And the thing is, and I think Annie has proved this with her Before Midnight, there was a film, The Natural, Robert Redfern, and he was building this, like, baseball square, and nobody believed in him, and he said, if you build it, they will come. You have to put something there. But if the reverse of that is, if you block it, then you'll never know. And it will look like they won't come. But they're not coming because it's not there for people to experience it. The big thing really with all of this is someone has to take a risk somewhere to do that thing that nobody's ever done before and see how it works. And then when it works, everybody else goes, oh, we'll have some of that. Let's do this.
Always the way, isn't it? No one wants to be
nobody
the person taking the risk,
though.
Nobody
wants to be the first person to do it because it's like, oh, God, you know, and if they fail, it's going to be terrible and they're going to lose all that money and they're going to be, you know, humiliation, things don't work. Nobody wants to work with somebody who has had this thing that doesn't work. You know, oh my God, you can't possibly fail.
But that's the thing, men can fail, can't they?
Oh God, no problem. They can fail and fail and fail again. They're kind of hot wired to know that they can fail and fail and fail again and they can keep coming back. But for women, if we fail, if we put one foot wrong, you'll never work in this town again, babe.
And not only that, nor will any of the others.
Yes,
because you can't just be a woman. You've got to represent your entire
race,
gender, race, whatever. Yeah.
Tokenism, disco.
But you've been pioneering, though, right since the very beginning, haven't you? I mean, like you were 24. In fact, I can't even imagine you at 24, unhappily married.
Yeah.
And like, it seems like you were older at 24 than you are now.
And I would say I definitely was. Because I had boxed myself into something so tightly that it took quite a number of years to come out of that box and actually realize who I was, away from thinking that I was this married housewife in Stockport who was kind of dipping her toe in the seas of daring by doing a degree, for God's sake. You know, it's like, and then suddenly when I started to move away from that and discover, oh, I can do radio, oh, I can do play records to people, oh, I can perform, and then it was like, I can actually do anything I want.
Yeah. How did you get the courage to do that, though? Because it wasn't like you had this, you didn't have a big support system, like your husband was down on it. And it wasn't, there were no, not like there was a role model.
No, no, I don't know. I don't know really. I think I just did what I wanted to do. And I've, you know, for good or for bad.
I want to ask you a little bit about your mum, Blanche, because she sounds like an, she sounds like a cracker.
She is. And you know, everything about who I am, I keep saying for good and for bad, because the lessons, you know, they're not always good, because it has a lot to do with my mum. And my mum was a working mother, for the most part, a working single mother, because, you know, my mum and my dad split up.
And you're one of seven, aren't you?
Yeah, and my mum and my dad split up when I was 3 years old. And my mum and my stepdad split up when I was 13. So I, like, come through this environment where, you know, in the 70s, they called it a broken home, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the stigma of that.
No judgment.
No judgment, but the stigma of that has followed me for years. The stigma of that on one side, and also the success of it, because I saw how my mum put a roof over our heads, put food on the table, keep us clothed and fed, and ate children through school. She did it.
What a woman.
You know, she did it. We didn't see a lot. Because at the same time, she also knew that she had to better herself. She did degrees at the same time. She's got degrees from Manchester University, Birmingham and Oxford. So in the time of her raising eight kids through the 50s into the 60s, 70s, 80s, well, 80s when I left home. In that time, she managed to get 3 degrees, do various courses, and was singing at the same time. So my mum was spinning so many plates, and we hardly, you know, we saw her, but we hardly saw her, and for good reason. Every day I see a woman get up, go to work, come back from work, sit with a load of books, give a few hours, then get all dolled up in a finery and go out and sing. 3 jobs every day of the week. That's how my mum worked. And yes, we didn't see her, but for good reason. I went to school. I ate. We had a nice house. We weren't living on the streets or under a bridge or in a cardboard box, which is possible. You know, she had 8 kids. She put 8 kids through school and pretty much on her own.
Do you know what? I was just thinking that. I was just thinking that, you know, just now I had asked you how you did it without, like, I was thinking of you, like, your husband and the fact there were no black women DJs, or in fact, many women DJs. And I was saying, you know, how do you did it without, you know, a role model, without support? But you did have that. It was just in a different...
It's just in a different discipline. But, you know, my mum used to help me make the costumes and everything, you know, or I'd borrow one of hers and customise it. And I do, you know, there is a story in the book about my mum coming out with me, because my mum used to be a fantastic roadie. My mum can lift weights. She could deadlift weights, like... Because that's the sort of woman she was. You know, my mum could deadlift 2 record boxes weighing 23 kilos each and make it look like
God.
A feather.
You took quite a big risk, didn't you, when you decided to call out the music industry for its sexism, racism, ageism?
I don't want any one of my nieces or nephews to meet the same old boundaries and challenges that I've met. If I can put a spoke in the wheel now so that anyone coming up behind me, or even, you know, my peers beside me, don't experience those issues, then I will do that. Because, you know, when people say, oh, well, you know, you've had a career of 30 years, why are you not bigger? I need to say why. I need to say why it took so long so that they can see...
Yeah.
Why it took so long, so that that doesn't happen again. So that,
but also, by whose standards of success is
and
that?
Exactly. And then people also need to be aware that as a Black woman, certain things are more difficult for me, that take longer for me to do than my, you know, white female opposite. I'm sorry, but it's a truth. So people need to be aware when they can quite happily, you know, sit back and chortle and say, oh, yeah, but it's taken her 30 years. They need to know why.
Yeah, totally. So when you won, you got a Lifetime Achievement Award from DJ Magazine. What was that, the end of 2022? You were the first Black woman ever,
yeah,
weren't you?
Yeah, to win it. I mean, it was funny. It was so beautiful in lots of ways because most people were very, very complimentary about it. But there was a certain seam of, how did you get that then? You know, and it's the usual whenever a woman wins anything, has any kind of success or does anything, it's like, did you pay someone? Did you sleep with someone? What did you say order to achieve this?
Or worse, positive discrimination. Yeah,
then, exactly. It was the positive discrimination thing. And then it was like, I shouldn't even have to feel I need to explain why or how I deserve this. Guys don't.
No, nobody will ever question
anyone else that's won it before why they deserved it or why anyone deserves it. And it was just like a massive eye-opener for me that, you know, in this world, and it all always comes back to the same thing, women are still second-class citizens. Women are still felt not to deserve the things that men can quite happily walk into and walk away with any day of the week, and no one questions it. And that was just like, well, I'm going to bask in the glory of this, and I'm also going to shove it in everybody's face. And I know what my worth is, and I know what I've done, and I know where I've been. And I want to make a stand for that thing, that you don't have to be this uber mega million earning, I don't know, megastar in order to make a difference.
In fact, you probably wouldn't make a difference if you were that person, because you haven't got any interest in making a difference, because it's working all right for you,
exactly.
Mate.
Exactly. It's a maddest thing that women should feel that they, you know, they need to explain themselves all the time. We need to prove why. Why can't we just have it?
No,
can't
totally.
We just accept the award and walk off the rostrum without saying, oh, and by the way, they've given me this because X, Y, and,
oh,
you know,
totally.
For God's sake. Just give me the damn award.
Just give it to me.
Give it to me and I'll
Paulette, I could talk to you all day, but you've probably like got a life you want to go and live. So I better ask you the questions that I always ask. At the end, what's your emotional age?
I say, and I know this for definite, I think my emotional age is stuck at 16. I am never going to grow up. I think because that is the point, 16, where I realised that music was my life.
And this feels like the wrong question for you, because I normally ask what a book recommendation.
Oh, yeah,
or
anything
a book
by Bernardine Evaristo, read it.
Oh, brilliant. That's a brilliant recommendation. Have you got a place to start?
Girl, Woman, Other.
Yeah, it's a fantastic.
It's the award-winning book, and then you can work your way back, but, you know, you might as well start there.
What advice would you give younger women?
Go for it. Try and find a team to support you. Don't do it on your own. I think that is the big thing that maybe I missed saying in the book, is that the reason that it's probably taken me so long is that I've done most of it on my own. I've never had a manager. I've never really had, you know, like a promotions team behind me, I am that thing, you know, and I'm a bit of a control freak. Try and release the control freakery and get people that you can work with and a team behind you that you can work with, because the journey is so much easier when you've got company.
That's a brilliant bit of advice. I wish you'd told me that
about
30 years ago.
I wish I told myself that 30 years ago, because it would have been so much easier.
Who is your old bird role model?
Grace Jones. To hula hoop all the way through a record when you're in your 70s, that's no small thing. I can't even hula hoop and I'm 57, you know. I've got friends who do it professionally, and I watch them and I'm just in awe.
What's your superpower if it's not hula hooping?
I have many, but I would like to think it's a double header, really, instinct and vision.
Well, they're a fantastic superpowers. Last one, how many fucks do you
None.
Give?
Minus. They're in minus. It's really in minus because, I mean, and that's not saying that I don't care. I have a massive heart and I care about lots of things, but I am not scared of anybody anymore. And those are the zero amount of fucks I give. It's just like, if you don't like it, door's there.
Thank you for listening. If you loved this episode, you might also like my conversations with Annie McManus and Karen Arthur. You'll find a link to them in the show notes. You can hear a new episode of The Shift each Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts. If you like what you hear, please do rate, review and follow, because it really does help other people find us. If you'd like more of The Shift in your life, head over to theshiftwithsambaker.substack.com and sign up for weekly newsletters, podcast extras and more.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.